You are listening to 91.5 FM, WMIE.
Welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here for today's program is Pastor Paul.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker for this program. I'm Pastor Paul Esposito, the senior pastor here of Island Community Church, along with my associate pastor, Darren Solana. We greet you here today. Happy Wednesday. It's hump day already. Praise God. We're halfway through this week. Thanks for joining us here today. You're tuned in to WGOD. That is, we're tuning into God's frequency today. He's got a word for you today. The word's going to come in out of 2 Corinthians chapter 11 here coming up in a minute. First of all, I want to invite you guys to church here tonight, Wednesday night, 6 o'clock. We'd love to see you. It's an informal, as Wednesday nights tend to be, much more informal than a Sunday morning. We have a big dry erase board. We roll that out, and you can ask questions, and Lord willing, I'll have answers for them. So 6 o'clock tonight, we are in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 from 6 to 7 o'clock. Now, Island Community Church is at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. You're invited tonight. We'd love to see you. You're invited to our Sunday service as well. 10:30 Sunday morning, starting a brand new series here, the book of Colossians, verse by verse. That'll start this week. You'll get a handout that'll have an outline on there and everything we're going to be looking at, room for you to write, bring your wide margin Bible and a pen, something to write on, something to write with, and let the Word of God speak to you here. And I love going through books of the Bible verse by verse. That's what we're going to be resuming here on Sunday. So, okay, this is part two of this sermon I just preached on Sunday. It's entitled, Will the Real Christian Please Stand Up? And I'm shocked. I was shocked as I was watching President Trump at this so-called prayer meeting in the nation's capital. And I wasn't surprised by what I see, because what I see is no surprise to me, because the Apostle Paul says, don't be surprised, because Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, he said, it's no great thing, or it's no wonder. That's that word thaumazo, where we read in the Bible someone marveled. So he says, it's no marvel at all if demons transform themselves into ministers. That's the word diakonos, where our word deacons comes from. See, these guys aren't hidden in the crowd. No, that's the legalists that slip in the side door here. No, these guys are minister. They're servants. They're workers. Deceitful workers, he calls them. Transforming themselves. So that's where we're at here today. The Apostle Paul says it should be no surprise when you see demons in the pulpit or Christians, evil people who say that they're Christians, doing bad things, embracing sin, and doing things that you just don't think is normal. Paul says, don't be surprised at that. That is par for the course. Here's part two of this message. Like False Face on Batman was one another character it makes me think of. But let this truth sink in this morning. Satan disguises himself as an angel of light, and his demons disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. Or this from the NIV. He says, no wonder, or why marvel? For Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. It's not surprising then if his servants also masquerade as servants, Greek word diakonos, meaning deacons. We got two in this church, Pastor Darren and Dwayne Kunkel, are servants, the deacons. Now, the Holy Spirit is telling you that these demons transform themselves into people that take the positions that Darren and Dwayne have here in his church. He says, by their fruit you will know them. That's why we have to test the spirits, right? That's what John wrote, right? Test the spirits to see as whether or not they are of God. Again, it's not surprising if his servants masquerade as deacons of righteousness. Their end will be what their actions deserve. Or this from the NLT. These people are false apostles. They're deceitful workers who disguise themselves as apostles of Christ. But I am not surprised, exclamation point. Even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. So it is no wonder that his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. In the end, they'll get the punishment that their wicked deeds deserve. So when we see demons leading prayer groups, don't be surprised. Or deeply embedded in the clergy in Washington, D.C., he's saying, why do you marvel at this? Why do you marvel that there are demons in disguise in Washington, D.C., in the clergy? Why are you surprised that there's demons in Merritt Island in the clergy? For the devil himself disguises himself as an angel of light. Why be surprised? All right, where do we go from here? And what should the church do about this? All right, first of all, though, let's consider some more evidence. So let's turn to Matthew chapter 13. We're not done presenting the evidence yet. Not quite ready to run the mile yet. Matthew chapter 13, let's pick it up in verse 24. Matthew 13, 24. Okay, here we go. Now another parable he put forth to them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. All right, here we go again. Why should I be surprised? He's informing us that what we are about to see is par for the course. He's telling you this is what the kingdom is like. Therefore, don't be surprised when you see it all around you. Don't be surprised. He says the kingdom of heaven is like. This is how it looks. Now, in the grand scheme of things, God has a real enemy who's trying to destroy the church, and he's trying to take out God's people. That would be you along the way. Devil's trying to destroy you by deceiving you by evil people here in the pulpit. Not everyone here in the pulpit is righteous. The kingdom of heaven is like a man. In this case, it's the Lord Jesus. He tells us himself. A man sowing good seed in his field. Now, chapter 13, verse 38 says, these are the sons of the kingdom. That would be you. You don't need to guess what this means. The kingdom of heaven is like Jesus establishing you into his field. This is what the kingdom is like.
But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. Now a tare is a very deceptive weed that looks exactly like wheat. It's almost impossible to tell a difference until, right up until harvest time. I've also heard that once you spot a tare, they stick out like a sore thumb. See, I can spot one easy now. Once I've recognized what they look like, now they stand out, now I can spot them. How do you treat your wife? That's one way I'm going to look. How do you treat your wife? Let me have a look at your Facebook feed. I can spot a tear. Let me look at your Facebook feed. And I'm going to hold it up against the two that I have in highest esteem. And that would be Robin Ross and my wife, Carol. Read either one of them if you want. Again, verse 25, while men slept, or that is, since no one nipped this in the bud, since no one finally stood up and cleaned house and got rid of these evil people here in the pulpit, okay? While men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. And this is where the devil does his best work. While the people of God are asleep, asleep at the wheel, this is what the kind of stuff that happens. You know, you just neglect something that needs to be dealt with. You neglect it for a spell. And then before you realize it, while you're sleeping, the enemy's come in and he's done his dirty work and he's gone his way. Just like the church. You see, while men slept, that is, the church got complacent, you see, and let worldliness creep in the front door or the side door. And then the devil came in, sowed his tares, and this is what this looks like out here today. They stopped calling sin, sin. They let women be the spiritual leaders in the church. Hear what the Word of God says. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 12. He says, I do not permit a woman to teach or exercise authority over a man. Rather, she is to remain quiet. Verse 13, for Adam. Now catch that phrase there, for Adam. You see, in other words, this is not a cultural problem like it was in Corinth. This is not a local problem. This was not a problem with women's hair being too short or a hair covering. He says, for Adam. He's appealing all the way back to the garden to prove this. It's not cultural. You can't say, well, that's what was going on there in that town that he was preaching in. He's going all the way back to the beginning for this. Hence those two words there in verse 13, for Adam. For Adam was formed first, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived. But the woman was deceived, became a transgressor. Now, most female spiritual leaders in liturgical churches I have found are gay. But why does that surprise you? This is why he's trying this. Why does that surprise you? You've already gone against what the Word of God says. Why stop? Why does that surprise you? For Satan himself disguises himself as an angel of light, and his team of demons masquerade as the servants of God. Now let me go back to this parable of this wheat and tares here for a minute. Verse 25. While men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the grain had sprouted and produced a crop, then the tares also appeared. So the servants of the owner came, and they said to him, sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares? Or in today's vernacular, we'd say, what in the world happened to the church? Weren't all these people out here, weren't they all Christians? What happened? How did all the evil fruitcakes get in here to the church? Why are all these evil leaders running it now? What happened? So Jesus' response, verse 28, he says, an enemy has done this. That's ekthros anthropos, meaning a hostile man has done this. The servant said to him, well, what should we do about this, Lord? There's all these tares all over the place now. What should we do about it? Do you want us then to go and gather them up? Verse 29, but he said, no, lest while you gather up the tares, you also uproot the wheat with them. So he said, in essence, nope. Or the scorched earth method will not work because we are fallible and we make mistakes. Here's what he tells them to do about the problem. Verse 30, he says, let both grow together until the harvest. And at the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, first gather the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. All right, verse 47 here in this chapter. Keep on, just skip on down to verse 47. Again, he says, the kingdom of heaven is like, it's like a net thrown into the sea, a gathered fish of every kind. Now, when it was full, men drew it ashore and sat down and sorted out the good into containers, but threw away the bad. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come out. Ah, you see, the qualified to do this now are now going to come out and take over from here. Because I'm not qualified to do that. Well, if someone would have judged me from 25 years ago, they would have thrown me in a bucket full of rotten fish, let me tell you. You see, this is why those that are qualified have to do this, because you and I don't know, A, B, we're not qualified, C, praise God, you never know, there's still hope for me yet. We're not qualified. That's why it says, at the end of the age, it's not going to happen today. Thank God it didn't happen a couple years back ago to me. I didn't end up in a bucket full of rotten fish where I belonged, let me say. Verse 49 again. So it'll be at the end of the age. The angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place, there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. All right, since we can't go scorched earth on all the tares in the kingdom so far, what shall we do? First of all, we need to identify them. Matthew chapter 7, verse 15. Let's turn to there. Matthew 7, verse 15. We've identified what the problem is. Now we got to see, how do we identify the people if we're uncertain? Matthew chapter 7, verse 15. The Lord Jesus, now I think I'm not sure what translation I'm reading this out of. It doesn't matter. He says, watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruits, you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruits, you will recognize them. So then, what fruit What fruit should I expect to see flourishing on the tree of the men whom the Lord has called to lead his church? Fair enough, right? By their fruits you will know them. What should I be looking for in the men who are leading the church of Jesus Christ? Right? Now remember, Satan's emissaries disguise themselves as ministers and will hide right here, out here in the open. So you might see some low-hanging fruit from some of these. Otherwise, where's the deception, right? I mean, they might have a little phileo love instead of agape. They might throw a little bit of kindness out there. They might be good to you. They might be a little long-suffering, but they haven't passed the test yet, you see. You know, just because you love the trans children doesn't quite make you the real McCoy yet. But here's a list of the fruit that you should be looking for. First and foremost, what does the leader believe about Jesus Christ? That always starts and finishes with him, by Doctrine of Christ sermon. What do you believe about Jesus? If the leader doesn't get this right, he fails the test. What do you believe about Jesus? Do you believe he's born of a virgin? Do you believe he's the Son of God? Do you believe that God was manifest in the flesh and took a body? Do you believe Jesus lived a sinless life? Do you believe the Lord Jesus is the only way to heaven? Do you believe he died for your sins? Do you believe you are redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ? If the guy up here doesn't believe that, you guys don't leave the church. You throw out the guy here that doesn't. You don't leave. You get rid of me. Or whoever else is up here. That's the solution to this. Do you believe does the leader here believe he's coming back again to judge the quick and the dead? And all of the evil angels? Do you believe there's no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved? Number two, men should be the spiritual leaders in the church and in their families. God established this, gave us the proper order in the church and in our families. The man's the spiritual leader in the house, and the man's the spiritual leader in the church. Man is to love his wife as Christ loved the church, gave himself for her. Any man who does not take care of his wife in this matter or be the spiritual leader in his house, look, women want their husbands to lead and be leaders and to be a strong leader. It's you and your muscle. They want that man with muscle, strength. God has ordained that, and God will bless that. Now, sometimes God has to raise up women to lead because of sissified men out here with no spine. Read the book of Judges sometime. Number three fruit to look for in the church. Does the church leader embrace sin or not? If he does, don't leave the church. Fire the pastor. Right? Listen to this verse I'm going to read out of the New American Standard. 1 Timothy 1:8. We know the law is good if one uses it lawfully. Realizing the fact, the law is not made for a righteous person, but for those who are lawless and the rebellious, for the ungodly and sinners, for the unholy and the profane, for those who kill their fathers and mothers, for murderers, for the immoral, for the homosexuals, kidnappers, liars, and perjurers. And he says, whatever else is not right. Boom, ba-da-boom, boom, boom. That's the showstopper there. He throws that tag in on the end, and whatever else is not right, like any of those things. Actually, he says, and whatever else is contrary to sound teaching. Now read that verse to the lesbian woman who berated President Donald Trump the other day, that the Bible places homosexuals in between kidnappers and murderers, and see how that goes over in Washington? I'm not making it up. I'm just reading to you what the Word of God says. I've said it before, and I'll say it again, church. You fall in or fall out. Fall in or fall out. But I am going to discover who you truly are when I compare you in the light of Scripture. This is going to expose you right here. You might not like everything that it says in it, but it's the truth. We submit to it. We bow to it. We bow to Almighty God. We receive. We do His word. We follow what it says. And that's what makes a healthy, successful church, where people in here get healed, people hear from God, people get blessed, people experience and they feel God's presence when they're here. That's because we do what He says. And we sit under the authority of His word. Fall in or fall out. Either way, I am not surprised. The true church of Jesus Christ, the elect of God, will persevere until the end. And all of the tares will eventually be exposed for who they truly are. So, hear the truth and embrace it, or hear the truth and deny it. Nevertheless, you will recognize them by their fruit. Now, let me say this to the gay female bishop who chastised President Trump, and then we are gone for the day. I promise you not to talk about politics. This will be a little word for her. This is it, okay? Instead of worrying what transgender children are going to do due to the temporary end of the satanic craziness in this country, be more concerned with the trans' souls than about their sex. That, you want to show me you're a real Christian? Then you be worried about someone that's that confused at 8 years old. They don't know what sex they are. And you're worried about that? They're scared? You see, I recognize you, madam. And I'm not surprised. Let's pray. Lord, we exalt you in the house. Let God be true and every man a liar. Lord, we thank you for your word. We exalt you in the house here today. Thank you for opening our eyes to the spiritual truth of what the kingdom of heaven is actually like, or the kingdom of God here, as long as we're still in this body and in this world here, what it's like for now at least. And that is, there's evil satanic plants growing up right alongside of us. And thank you for showing us how to identify them. And always to continue to pray and leave the separating of them to you at the end of the age. And yet give us the ability and the strength and the wisdom and the discernment to be able to clean house here in the Church of Jesus Christ. And it's in His name that we pray. Amen. Amen.
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study, and Sunday morning service starts at 10:30. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.